"There they go, General," Tucker said, as the leading Chinese echelons resumed their drive north. "I think it is time, then." Bondarenko lifted the satellite phone. "General Wallace?"
"I'm here."
"Please release your aircraft."
"Roger that. Out."
And Wallace shifted phone receivers.
"Eagle One, this is Rough Rider. Execute, execute, execute."
The F-16s had been circling. On command, the fighters changed course for the battlefield below. Under the wings of each aircraft were the smart pigs, four to the fighter, and with 48 fighters, that came to 192 JSOWs. The fighter pilots punched the release triggers, dropped their bombs, and then angled for home, letting the robots do the rest of the work. The smart pigs separated from the fighters extended their own little wings to guide themselves the rest of the way to the target area. They knew this information, having been programmed by the fighters. No one saw them coming. They were small, no larger really than a common crow. They exploded in bunches almost in the same instant. Of the 921 tanks on the field, 762 took hits, and the least of these destroyed the vehicle's diesel engine. All in all, it took less than 90 seconds to turn 29th Type A Group Army into a thinly spread junkyard and funeral pyre. "Holy God," Ryan said. "Is this for real?"
"Seeing is believing. Jack, when they came to me with the idea for JSOW, I thought it had to be something from a science fiction book."
It was just after 9 in the morning when the Politburo began its emergency session.
"Well, Luo, what is happening?" Interior Minister Dong Ji asked.
"Our enemies counterattacked last night. This sort of thing we must expect, of course."
"How serious were these counterattacks?"
"The most serious involved some damage to railroad bridges in Harbin and Bayan, but repairs are underway."
"I hope so. The repair effort will require some months,"
Tian Kun interjected.
"Who said that?"
"Marshal, I supervised the construction of two of those bridges. This morning, I called the division superintendent for our railroad in Harbin. All six of them have been destroyed. It will take over a month just to clear the debris. The superintendent tells me they are quite beyond repair."
"I have army engineers heading there now to make a full assessment of the damage. I am confident that we can restore service shortly."
"Luo, your magic army bridges can support a tank or a truck, yes, but not a locomotive that weighs 200 tons pulling a train weighing 4,000. Now, what else has gone wrong with your Siberian adventure?"
"The American Naval Air Forces attacked last night and succeeded in sinking some of our South Sea Fleet units."
"Which units?"
"Well, we have no word from our missile submarine."
"And marvelous," Dong Qi observed. "Now the Americans strike at our strategic assets. That's half our nuclear deterrent gone. What goes on, Luo? What is happening now?"
"What do we tell the people?" Fang asked.
"The people will believe what they are told," Luo said.
And everyone nodded nervous agreement on that one. They did control the media. Truth was something so often feared in this room, Fang realized. And for the first time in his life, he wondered why that had to be. If the truth was something to fear, might that mean they were doing something wrong in here? Fang realized how dangerous the thought was.
"Luo, what does it mean to us," the Interior Minister asked, "if the Americans remove half of our strategic weapons? Was that done deliberately? Was that not a political act, not just a military one?"
"Yes, you could see it that way."
"Might they strike directly at us?"
"That would be unwise.
We have missiles targeted at their principal cities. They know this. Since they disarmed themselves of nuclear missiles some years ago, well, they still have nuclear bombs that can be delivered by bombers, but not the ability to strike at us in the way that we could strike at them, and the Russians, of course."
"And that gives us an advantage, doesn't it?" Zhang asked, with a ghoulish smile.